It's the Joel Comm Show, featuring internet pioneer, New York Times bestselling author, and international speaker, Joel Comm.
I want to bring in my guest today. His name is Mr. Cliff Ravenscraft. Cliff is known as the podcast answer man to a good many people in the online world, but I call him friend. And more recently, Cliff has had a transformation in his life over the past few years that is so off the charts inspirational. And he is taking that inspiration and just feeding it out to the masses in such powerful ways. I think he's just getting started. Welcome to the show, Cliff.
Joel, thank you so much, man. I'm so honored to be here.
You are fresh back from Podcast Movement, the big podcast event.
Yeah. In fact, I'm just out of my hibernation. I slept for 13 hours after I got back. I was so exhausted. It was such an incredible time of networking with people.
About how many people show up for that now?
You know what? I didn't pay a whole lot of attention. If I had to guess, I'm just going to say 2,000.
Yeah, that's pretty big. They've really grown that into being the definitive podcasting event, haven't they?
They have. Dan and Jared, those two are incredible forces in the world of live events for podcasters. And so, yeah, they've done an incredible job. And I know that Mitch and Todd and some other folks were a part of that, or Mitch and Gary Leland were a part of it in the early stages. But Dan and Jared have done an incredible, insane amount of work to make it what it is today. And they've done a great job.
It looks like our mutual friend, Brad, he just met you there at Podcast Movement.
Hey, Brad.
So glad that that you're here, Brad. And nice, Anna, that you made it to the BeLive app page, and now you're able to comment here on the. See, isn't that cool, Cliff? The way I can just click and the comments and the lower thirds come up and allows me to see what's going on at any moment. As a broadcaster, I know you appreciate that.
Joel, you're inspiring me to take action and maybe download the BeLive onto my system and maybe give it a shot. So
yeah, it doesn't even take downloading. BeLive.tv, and they have a I think it's a 14-day free trial, and then the prices are crazy reasonable to actually use it. So anyway, let's talk about you. For those of you that don't know, Cliff kind of stumbled his way into the podcast answer man gig. And I was actually listening to your show via the Ray Edwards show, because he interviewed you on your show and he thought it was so good. He's like, I need to put this on my show. And, you know, I hate to duplicate, but there's, you know, not everybody's heard either one of those. And I think the story is so powerful. I want people to hear. How did you become the podcast answer man?
Okay, so I'll give you two backstories before the world of podcasting. Number one, I worked for 11 years as an insurance agent in an independent insurance agency owned by my parents. Never dreamed of being an insurance agent, but when my parents invited me to come work for them, I had just got married. So I have a new wife, right? And this new life ahead of me. And I'm thinking, I got to do something more responsible than customer service work for Staples Call Center. And the thing is, I just didn't want to be an insurance agent because I had another passion. I felt a calling in my life to full-time ministry. And my greatest dream at the time was to be a pastor of a big church. That was my dream. And so my mom and dad got me to come work for them in the insurance agency because they had just bought a bunch of computers and some software that would allow them to put everything online instead of a bunch of manila folders for all their client database. They said, you know computers, why don't you come on and just set up our computers? That's what we want to pay you for. I said two things. Number one, you've got to promise me you'll never force me to get my insurance license because I have no desire to sell. And number two, if I ever have the opportunity to pastor a church, no matter how much more or less money I'll make, you have to be okay with me leaving. They were okay with both of those. And so I started working for mom and dad. And here's the thing. I ended up actually after a couple years doing pretty much everything an insurance agent would do, except for giving the client the price that I generated. I would do all the work. My dad would make the phone call. The client would come in and have them sign the piece of paper. And my dad gets all the money instead of me. He says, you know, all this stuff that you're doing, you could give them the price. They could come in, they could sign the app, and you would get the money. And so all of a sudden I'm like, okay, maybe I will get my license. And so it turns out that I actually ended up being licensed for auto, home, business, health, and life insurance. And I was extremely wildly profitably successful financially with this. And I was doing associate pastor work on the side. For years, like for a decade.
It almost sounded like you said a sociopathic work. for a second. I'm like, wait, what? You know, in some cases in the pastoral, that might be true.
Actually. Yeah. So I was an associate pastor for over a decade while also building this insurance career. And, you know, financially, I had everything together and I thought that I was on this path where I was serving people and everything seemed right in my life. And I had some free time and I had some passions and I discovered the world of podcasting in 2005. And through a series of just conversations and some engagement with people in podcasting, I ended up launching my very first podcast as a hobby with my wife about the TV show Lost. And this, I don't know that you want to go into all the details of how this happened, but we had 27,000 subscribers around the world by our third podcast episode.
That show was so hot. That was why I watched it every week. I was one of those that followed. I wasn't aware of your show at the time. I wasn't even aware that there were podcasts on Lost, but I watched it every week. So I understand the obsession people had with picking apart every single bit of that show.
Yeah. And this is the early days of podcasting. There was only like 100, maybe 150 podcasts in existence at the time. Seven of them were Lost podcasts. And one of them was ours. So
would it be fair to say that the obsession with Lost had a hand then in launching podcasts to fame?
I would say there's definitely a part of that because that here's what I will tell you is that Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse were one of the seven people who had a podcast, one of the seven podcasts. It was called the Official Lost Podcast. And here you had two of the, I mean, well, there's no question, the most successful television producers on the planet had their own podcast every week where they were teasing people with hidden clues and gems about this, about the most popular television in the world at the time. So yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay, so we don't have to get into the details, but the show was very popular and you had lots of downloads and all of a sudden you're like, oh, podcasting.
Yes. So here's what got me interested. So we started podcasting and several months into this, you know, the show has episodes with themes. You remember this. You probably remember the episode in season one titled All Good Cowboys Have Daddy Issues, right?
Yeah.
And so we're talking hidden clues, hidden Easter eggs, hidden gems in the show. I'm researching stuff, helping people see things that they never saw the first time that they watched it, turning them into the king and the queen of the water cooler at work, you know, all of that. But my wife and I were also talking about the human element, the relational element of how we resonate with the story being told. So, for example, you know, I grew up with an alcoholic drug addict father as my biological dad. You know, so I have some daddy issues growing up. My wife was very open and very transparent about the fact that, you know, her mom had multiple husbands as she grew up. And one of her stepfathers, unfortunately, sexually abused her as a child. And here we are authentically sharing how we resonate with what the show is saying and the message of the show and how why we feel so connected to what story is being told. And then the next, like not the next episode, but another episode was called Tabula Rasa, which is the fact that we all have the ability to start over with a clean slate. And then there was an episode called The 23rd Psalm. Do you remember Mr. Echo?
Oh, of course. Echo was fantastic. And I was so upset when they killed him off.
I know. Spoiler alert. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so, if you haven't seen it by now. Yeah. Forget about it. You're going to
forget about it.
Everybody dies.
Everybody dies. So anyway, Mr. Echo was pretending to be a Catholic priest. And in one of the episodes, he quotes the 23rd Psalm, but he actually changes to the order of two of the verses, which completely it changes the meaning of the verse if you change those two verses. And how many people actually would ever catch that, right? But here I am, this associate pastor background, and I'm like, so here's what the actual 23rd Psalm means, but if you reverse these two lines, which trust me, the writers of the show did not do this on accident. And so I'm bringing this out. And then right after that episode, I started getting emails from people saying, Cliff, I hope this isn't offensive to you, but can I ask you a question? Are you and your wife Christian? And I wrote back, why, yes, we are. And it was a very brief email. This one person, it was the first email that happened, said, he wrote me back. If I would have printed out the email, it would have been about 5 pages long. And I broke down in tears, Joel, reading this email. This guy was pouring out his heart to me. And I'd been in ministry by this time already for over a decade. And I'd never in all of my life in ministry had ever had anybody who was this genuine, this raw, this transparent about where they are in their journey of faith in life. And he was genuinely seeking advice from me. He's like, Cliff, how do you come to a place where you trust? How do you do this? And what the heck? I've never heard of a Christian watching a secular television show and enjoying it and being okay with that. I mean, what's going on here? And so it just gave me a lot of opportunity to connect with him and other people. And I'll just tell you that, Joel, over the course of an 18-month period of time, I had three people who had written to us and told my wife and I, as a result of our podcast, the online discussion forum and community that we had created, we invited people to come watch the TV show in our home for every season premiere and every season finale. I mean, it's insane what we did, but we loved people. We loved connecting with these people. We had three people within 18 months have told us that they decided not to commit suicide as a result of our show.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, Joel, after about a year of podcasting, oh, by the way, we started the Desperate Housewives fan podcast, the Grey's Anatomy fan podcast, the Heroes fan podcast. I mean, we started so many different shows because we loved connecting people with each other from so many different backgrounds, to so many different belief systems politically and everything else. But we all were able to build friendships around shared passions. Hmm. And I'm like, this is incredible. And so I started to ask myself, what would life be like if I could do this for a living? And I felt guilty and ashamed that I was even asking myself that question. It's like, who would do this? Cliff, you have an extremely financially secure job, especially in that time frame. People were losing their jobs left and right. My mom and dad own the insurance agency that started from my grandfather. I'm the next in line to take it over. Job security, I've got it taken care of for life. Who am I to think about leaving my day job to go pursue a hobby? Seriously? And so I just felt guilty about it. I never spoke the words out loud to anybody out there. And then I was in my ministry position and they wanted me to do some other things within the quote unquote local church. And they said, Cliff, we would really like to get you elevated up in here. And that means getting you involved in this and this. And then I think we can get you as, you know, you have to be a deacon for 6 months, but then you can do this. And it's like, this is how we're going to get you up through the ranks in our leadership ladder here in the church. And I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting, except for the fact it would have required that I attended 7 more meetings a week, every week at the church. And I'm like, guys, I can't do that. And they said, why not? And they said, it's that podcasting thing you're doing, isn't it? And Joel,
that
I got to tell you.
Podcasting thing.
That, yeah, it's that podcasting thing. And what happened was they actually had a conversation with me that where they didn't, they asked me a series of questions that quite frankly just said, man, do you feel like maybe you're just being distracted from what God's truly calling you to do and that this is just your own arrogance and your own self-conceited way and all this other stuff? And maybe you've lost sight of your priorities and God's calling on your life. And I respected them so much, Joel, that I'm like, maybe they're right. And I started feeling guilty about all this podcasting stuff. And I don't know if you know this part of my story, but I quit podcasting.
What year was that?
It was late 2006.
I did not know that you had quit at that time. So what happened?
I quit for 1 week. So
it's not really quitting. It's kind of taking a vacation.
Well, no, but the thing is when I quit, I had quit for life.
Right. You thought you were done.
I thought I knew I was done. I was like, I'm done. This is that these people who I respect with all greatness, God obviously put them in my life to tell me what to do. Belief system. Brother. I have to win the respect of the authorities within belief system. So I stopped podcasting. Now here's what happened. I went into work Monday morning, first time ever, like 20 minutes late, rolled into work late because I slept in. And the only thing I could think of all day, every day was how many hours until I can go home and go to bed.
Hmm.
And that happened every single day that week. And I'm like, and finally, I'm like, okay, I don't want to live if life is like this. I really don't. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I was suicidal or anything like that, but I'm just saying it's like I had been awakened to what I believe was my true calling in life, and I had completely decided I will never do it again. And I'm not saying podcasting. I'm saying whatever was happening through podcasting or what podcasting opened up to me. And so I started podcasting the next Monday, and life went back, and I quit the official position within the church so that I could focus on true ministry calling in my life. So, but that's not the direction of this conversation, I'm sure. But anyway, I started to actually publicly state out loud in my content, I wonder what life would be like if I could do this for a living instead of insurance. And then people out of the woodwork, these people called, Joel, have you ever heard of these people called entrepreneurs?
Familiar with them, yeah.
Of course we are today. Me, Cliff Ravenscraft, lifetime employee all the way up until December 2007. I didn't know any of those people. Okay, sure, my dad's a small business owner, right? I never considered him to be an entrepreneur, and we never talked about that. You know, it's just like, I'm an employee in my dad's business. You know, I didn't know what an entrepreneur, but all of a sudden I realized I have all these people out there who are listening to me, and they're full-time self-employed people. And some of them had never had a job before. They've never been an employee. And they're like, Cliff, you can do this. And all these emails came in, all these offers of one-on-one conversations. And I would have calls with them. They devote 90 minutes to talking to me. Here's 8 things you could do to make a living online all by yourself with what you have already. And I would listen to that, and I'd get a little bit excited. I'd come home and tell Stephanie, and Stephanie, my wife, was becoming convinced. Me, not so much. I still had all the doubts. And eventually, one day, it was September 2007, my dissatisfaction with my day job had grown to an all-time high. And I came home, and I was just like, this is ridiculous. I was angry. And my wife says, that's it. And I'm like, what? She says, that's it. You have to leave your day job. Hmm. You have tomorrow morning, you are going in, you're going to tell your dad, you've got 90 days, I'm leaving. That's it. I want my husband back, and the kids need their dad back. And we both know, whatever this thing is that we're doing, it's what God's calling you to do. And by that time, by the way, I just want people to know that I had already started generating some income. I'd been making somewhere between $2,000 to $3,000 a month from advertisers and sponsors. I had some people who were already paying me like $50 an hour for one-on-one podcast consulting. I had some people signing up for some webinars for like $200 and $300 per webinar. So I had indications of some income. It wasn't anything that would replace the day job income. But the question Stephanie said, she's like, all these people said that if you just get rid of the day job and devote all those 40 hours to the other 30 that you're putting into your hobby, just imagine, it's like, we've got this. And she said, listen, I know we just built this house that we live in, and I know we just got debt free, but here's the thing. We won't go back into debt. But if we have to sell the house and rent somewhere, we'll do that. And I know that I love being a stay-at-home mom, but if I have to go out and get a job, I'll do that. This is what you're going to do. So the next day I went in and put my 90-day notice in. Mm. And so, Joel, I left in January 1st, 2008. I became a full-time self-employed business owner.
Feels good. And
it was awesome. I felt amazing.
And scary at the same time.
Well, the thing is I didn't know what I didn't know back in the day. And I certainly had the mindset of, I mean, my belief system was completely out of whack back then. And as a result of the things that I believed and the things that I didn't know about what I didn't know, I worked around the clock, like 12, 14 hours a day for 7 days a week for 9 months. Hmm. Didn't take a day off. And then after 9 months, I finally was convinced to take 1 day a week off. I increased the number of hours on the other 6 days. And at the end of my first year, I went to my CPA and he said, congratulations. And I'm like, what? He's like, dude, you don't realize this, but a majority of businesses never turn a profit until their second or third year. Your business is profitable in your first year. This is amazing. You should be happy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, that feels great. Except for the fact of this. Sure, the business generated lots of income. It paid for all of the things that I wanted as far as computers and cameras and microphones and equipment. It paid for all of the overhead. It paid for the CPA to do my taxes every month. It paid for all of that stuff. But my personal income as far as paychecks to Cliff Ravenscraft, I didn't get any of those until the final 3 months. And my total net income for the first year was $11,000. Hmm. And by the way, all of that hard work, I was so focused on one area of my life. How do I run this business? And I ended up in January 2009 to celebrate my first successful year financially being profitable in my business. with a 2-week stay in the hospital where I almost died.
Mm. What now? You mentioned that when I heard the other show, but what happened to you? Just summarize.
So I celebrated my final 24 hours of my first year in business with a 24-hour nonstop live online podcasting marathon on Ustream.tv. Okay. And I, about 22 hours into it, I was like writhing in pain, bent over, but I powered through. And it felt like somebody had just been like an ice pick through my gut. And finally I thought maybe I just need to sleep, and I couldn't sleep. And my wife took me to the hospital. It turns out that I had massive gallstones. I like massive gallstones. And they said, your gallbladder has to come out, but there's only one problem. You have a gallstone stuck in your cystic duct. And here's the thing, to get that stone out of your cystic duct, we have to go in with this type. We have to go in with this surgery. And there's about a 50% chance you'll make it through. And they said, but the thing is your gallbladder has to come out. There's no question about that. That's 100%. That going through that one's not a big deal. Gallbladder coming out. So the thing is you have an option. We can take the gallbladder out. Your chance of dying on the table, pretty much nil. I mean, yes, there's risk, and I have to tell you, it's this percentage, blah, blah, blah. But seriously, we do it all day, every day. I can do it in my sleep. I promise you I won't. But the thing is the gallbladder is not a big deal. But here's the thing. If you decide not to do the one where we go through the top and do the dangerous one, if the stone falls, you're dead instantly. There's a chance there's a chance that stone will always stay there. But if it falls, you're dead instantly. There's no question. And so I had this decision to make, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to roll the dice here. And I want you to take the stone out. I'd rather have a 50% chance of living. It seems to me like those gallstones have a habit of doing something. So let's just get that thing out. So, The nurse comes in the night before my surgery is scheduled. She goes, here, sign this permission form for your surgery. Looks like you're going to have your gallbladder taken out at 8 a.m. tomorrow. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm having this cystic duct thing cleared out. And she goes, that's not what I have. And I'm like, well, you need to go fix this. And so that's why I said I almost died. Because the thing is, I believe I would have died had I not actually had the surgery to remove the actual stone from the cystic duct. And so, dude, that was a major wake-up call. And at the time, I weighed 272 pounds.
Wow. I'm going to pull up this picture here and show, now that we've revealed that. For those of you who are looking at Cliff now and didn't see him before, this was Cliff before. Let's go to the full body shot. There we go. You were a big boy.
Yeah. I had gotten to the place where, you know, I told you how many hours a week I was working, and I worked from home, and it was a small home. So literally it was, you know, get up at 6 a.m., go and have some breakfast, go straight down to work, go up and have a 15-minute lunch, go back down to work, go up and spend 30 minutes with the family for dinner, go back down to work, and then work until 2 o'clock in the morning, and then repeat that for 7 days a week for 9 months. Mm. And I didn't realize it at the time, but after the hospital thing, how I got started on my fitness journey is I decided to start this thing called the 10,000 Steps a Day program. And it's basically, you put a pedometer on. This is before we had Fitbits. This is before we had Apple Watches that track our stats. So I had this little, you know, pedometer on my belt. And I said, you know what, for the first day, let me just see how many steps I get in an average day. Joel, my average step count per day was about 200 steps.
Oh my gosh. That was like getting out of bed and going to the fridge.
It was getting out of the bed, going to the kitchen, going downstairs, going upstairs for lunch, going downstairs, going upstairs for dinner, going downstairs, going upstairs to go to bed. 200 steps a day on average.
That's barely moving.
Yes. So Joel, the thing is that, I mean, I need a change in my life. It's like, I don't know what to do. And of course I was so thankful to be surrounded by people like Dan Miller, author of the book, 48 Days to the Work You Love, who radically transformed my belief system about what I believed about work. See, prior to that, I believed that the harder you work, the more money you make in life. And also I also used to believe, the more you hate the work you're doing, the more money you should make doing it. So I had those two beliefs. Now, the one thing is did I prove to you based upon my story, Joel, that I was willing to work hard?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's how I compensated. But the problem is I had a belief system that was working against me. See, I actually had people who were paying me $50 an hour for consulting work, right? And I felt guilty sending those invoices because I felt like, why am I should be sending them, or they should be sending me invoices for allowing me the opportunity and the great joy of talking to them for an hour endlessly about what I love most in this world. Huh. And it felt so weird to charge people money. And also I had this thing of, well, this is my ministry. This is how I help people. And I had all of this belief system that was holding me back. And man, once I started to shift a couple of things that I believed, my income level went up, my weight went down, and life has never been the same.
And you worked less. I mean, it's kind of, I'm going to use the opportunity to say that's what this is. This is what this book is all about. It's working smart, not hard, getting aligned with your passions and your curiosity and creativity and taking risks and trusting the process. And you've done a lot of that, of trusting the process. So I'm going to kind of skip by your fame as the podcast answer man, because most people know that, you know, you did a podcast for years. What I got from the interview I heard is that eventually you began resenting the questions about podcasting, and it was time for you to move into this next phase of your life. Now, I want to put this up again here and show people one more time. This is you before and you after. And I've watched, as many of us who know you have, this transformation take place very publicly. And I'm a big fan of that. I did that on a much smaller scale, about 55 pounds, about 6 years ago. And I went public with it and I dropped, and I've put about half of it back on. But at least now I'm walking an hour a day, you know, and I'm more cognizant of it. And I know how that inspires people. Your transformation was so dramatic that not only did it transform you physically, but mentally and professionally. And you're going in a direction now that you could inspire thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people.
Yeah. So what happened was, when I remember in late 2006, I told you I had that dream, that question. I wonder what life would be like if I could do this for a living instead. And the interesting thing, when I was very cautious to say that this thing wasn't podcasting. I knew back then that what this thing was, it was creating content that was entertaining, educational, encouraging, and inspiring. I knew that, and I knew that what I loved most about it and why I wanted to devote all of my life to it, because it tapped into my, remember I started our talk with my truest calling in this world was to devote my life to full-time ministry.
Yes.
All right. And that wasn't to convert people to Christianity. That's not what I mean when I say that. When I felt my calling to devote myself to full-time ministry, my very clear picture of what that means is always encouraging people to take action in their lives to live the life for which they were created. Mm-hmm. Very clear. That's what I wanted to do. Now, the thing is that I told you when I started my business 2008, I didn't know what I didn't know back then. So back then I didn't, and I told you about my mindset that you only get paid to do things that you really don't like. Mm-hmm. And so
punish yourself.
So let's punish myself and make sure that I can earn this money that people are giving me. So how can I punish myself? I can take the most tedious part of what I love to do, and I can teach people how to do that part of it, right? So sounds insane, but it's true. I knew all about mixed minuses. I know all about the difference between a TRS and a TRRS cable, balanced versus unbalanced. I know about mixers and aux outputs and microphones and XLR cables and RSS feeds. Oh my, all of that stuff. I understood that and easy. And not only that, but I had the ability to take all of that stuff and teach it to the most uneducated people when it comes to technology. For example, Kay Copet at age 75 years old took my 4-week course. And she launched her own podcast by simply watching my tutorials. All right. So, and she said, Cliff, how do I copy and paste? That was one of her questions. So just to give you an idea. So I was like, man, what I believed at the time was the only way I could generate income that would allow me to do my calling in the world was to do these things that that were more tedious, but gave people this tangible result. Hmm. You know, it's like, I don't have a podcast. I want one. I'll pay Cliff and I'll have one. And I felt like that's the only way I could ever make a living. Hmm. So I pursued that. And by the way, I loved it. I have helped over 30,000 people in this world launch a podcast, which is mind-boggling today. And to know that those 30,000 people, a majority of them, at least 70, 80% of them are creating content that is radically, positively, and profoundly changing people's lives, I do not regret any time I spent teaching those people how to podcast. Mm. But I got to tell you, teaching people how to do cables and plug in these things and answering their questions about why do I have an echo and how can I get rid of it? That's not what gets me out of bed in the morning, Joel. What gets me out of bed in the morning is the ones who said, Cliff, I hate my voice. There's no way I can do this. But actually getting them to actually publish the episode and getting them to get to the place where they send me the first email. It's like, oh my gosh, Cliff, check out this email I just got from somebody who said their life is radically, profoundly and positively impacted based upon the content I created. I'm so glad you got me to publish that episode that I thought was horrible.
Yeah, you know, basically what I'm hearing you say is the technical aspects. They're just, yeah, you could teach it in your sleep, but what you really wanted to see was what happened to people when they applied what you taught them.
Yes. Yeah. And so I began to get a little bit more clear on this vision of what life, you know, what my original calling. I want to devote myself. And when I thought about it originally, I thought it was the pastor of a large church. And I was even thinking mega church, you know. I would love to have a Sunday congregational gathering of, let's just say, 5,000 people in the auditorium. And let's do, let's say, 6 of those services per weekend. That's the vision I had, you know. We won't say any names, but that's kind of what I had in mind. That's like 2000. No, that was like 1996 Cliff Ravenscraft dream. But when I, you know, it got around to 2015 and I got to the place where, quite frankly, I felt guilty. You can tell I even hesitate to say these words out loud. But quite frankly, Joel, I kind of resented every time I opened my email inbox and I had a technical question. Mm-hmm. Because I felt obligated to answer it. And I did. And thankfully, I had systems that I created a video for all of the common questions that came in. And I sent them a link to it. But even that, quite frankly, it's like, man, there's so much more I think I could bring value to your life than this. And I would rather have the emails come in for this topic instead. So I started to ask myself, first of all, I started to have a new dream in 2015. And again, it took about 6 or 7 months before I spoke this out loud to anybody. It was then only in private conversations with my closest of friends, because I felt arrogant and self-conceited saying this. But I started to have a vision, a dream of me on stage in a massive stadium with tens of thousands of people who came to this event. And I wasn't a guest speaker at somebody else's event where I stood on the stage for an hour, but it was my event that those tens of thousands of people came to. And I'm like, who on earth do I think I am? Seriously, this is ridiculous. And it reminded me of late 2006 when I said, I have so much job security. And at the time, I'm making over $250,000 a year doing podcast consulting. Mm-hmm. And I'm literally saying to myself, I never want to answer. I don't want to make another penny from teaching people how to podcast. Who do I think I, do you know how many people think that with like Cliff, do you know how many people don't even make a tenth of what, and you want to do what? Mm-hmm. And so I was afraid of what people would think and say if I said all those things out loud. So I had this dream and I got to just tell you, the more I just sat on it, that just wouldn't go away, even though it scares me. Joel, there's no way. Who am I? Seriously, I still today, right now, I will tell you, I don't feel worthy of 10,000 people's attention at one weekend event. I don't yet. But there's a part of me that says, I'm going to get that. I'm going to be there. And there's a part of me that says, Cliff, you're already there. The only thing that stands in your mind is your BS. And that's the belief system, by the way, for those of you who don't know, your BS problem. Yes. So I started speaking this out loud to some people, and I'll never forget the time. The first time I actually said this to somebody outside of my closest inner circle, I was in New Zealand. I had just been invited to do the opening keynote address for the New Zealand podcast or the Asia Pacific podcast conference. And I was in New Zealand as a guest of honor in somebody's home. And there was a group of people, a small group of people. And it was the first time. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm about ready to tell you guys this. And I told them about my dream. My vision. I said, I see myself on the stage in a stadium, and there are 40,000 people in the audience. And I've got goosebumps now telling you, and I had goosebumps then. And every single person in that room said, I totally see that, Cliff. Mm. And every person in that room said, I promise you this, it's going to happen, and I will be at your first stadium event. Every single person in that room. And Joel, get this. I've had that conversation with over, let's just say 100 people, right? I've had that conversation with at least 100 people one-on-one, and every single one of them said, I see that, Cliff. It's definitely going to happen, and I promise you I'll buy a ticket to your first stadium event. So all I need to do is find 9,900 other people to have this one-on-one conversation with, and I'm going to sell a 10,000-person stadium event. But,
well,
you know,
you're starting with what you've got. I mean, you're doing your first event. Here it comes.
Yeah. So I shared this conversation a lot, and I started speaking it out loud in my vlog. And I would always say, hey, in 10 to 20 years, I see myself doing stadium events. I started to speak it out loud. And the thing is I kept saying 10 to 20 years, but I had said 10 to 20 years for 2 years straight. And my friend Ray Edwards, I think you know Ray.
Very well.
And yeah, so Ray's like, Cliff, I got to ask you a question. He says, you keep saying you see yourself doing these 10,000 or thousands of people events in stadiums. And you always say 10 to 20 years, but you said that for the past 2 years. Hmm. Why isn't it 8 to 18 years now? Hmm. And then he said, why not next year? And he said, and the thing is, and I'm like, wow, that's a great question. And then I started to think about, well, I'm not worthy of it and all this other stuff. And then I'm like, but wait, do I really believe that? And then I asked myself this question, is there anybody else in this world who is doing what I envision doing and making a good living at it? And there is one person's name that came to mind, Tony Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Robbins does this. And so I started to study Tony Robbins. And Ray says, Cliff, you talk about Tony Robbins and you want to actually be able to why don't you actually go to one of his events? And I'm like, what a novel idea. So in June 2016, I bought Stephanie and I VIP tickets to go to Unleash the Power Within. We walked on fire at that event in Dallas,
you
Texas.
You are on fire.
I am on fire. And so I went there, and boy, Joel, that was a life transformational experience, that 4-day event. And that's when the dream for Free the Dream. I'm like, I want to create my version of this. And I'm like, how can I get to the place where I can start creating this type of conference where people can come and break free from the beliefs that are holding them back from living the lives for which they were created? And the thing is I'd never made money in this online business from anything other than training people how to podcast. And so what's the first step? The first step was, well, I wonder if I could sell it like live workshops, like 12, 14 people at a time, and teach them something other than podcasting. Would anybody hire me for something not podcast related? And so I started with live workshops here in my home studio, which I built our dream home, and it's got a classroom in it and everything. So I basically started selling those, and it freaked me out. Would anybody come to Cincinnati? One of the hardest places to get to. You can't get a direct flight to Cincinnati from hardly anywhere. And so I'm like, I wonder if anybody will do this. I actually had to text Ray Edwards 3 times before that event. Do you have time for a pep talk? One was to actually create the sales page. Number two was to actually write the email. And number three was to actually send the email marketing the next level workshop. And it's like, And then I had six people come for my first event. They each paid $1,000 and it had nothing to do with podcasting. And after that event, I said, hey, guys, and it was, I waited 5 weeks to see if they actually felt the value. I said, based upon your experience here, if I were to do this again, same place, same information, same content, how much should I charge moving forward? And they all paid $9.99. I said, should I charge $9.99, $14.99, or $19.99? Five of the six said I should charge $19.99. One of them said $14.99. So the next one I did, I marketed it at $19.99, which freaked me out again. And I went to Ray and I went to Mark Mason and I said, guys, I need a pep talk. And they gave me the pep talk. They helped me create the sales copy. And I sent the emails. And Joel, I've sold out five 14-person workshops that had nothing to do with podcasting here. And then I'm like, okay, what's the next step? I can't put 50, 100, or 300 people in my little studio here. So the next step is free the dream. And so I created my, I said, I'm going to create my first step towards the stadium. And I'm creating an event where my goal is to have 300 people come to my very first official conference called Free the Dream.
And you will, and some of them are here right now. You guys go to freethedream.live. There's that .live domain. Perfect use of in branding of that, by the way.
Thank you.
Live the life of your dreams and break free from what's holding you back. So like without reading this page to people here, kind of summarize what they're going to get. By the way, this event is in Franklin, Tennessee, not too far from Nashville, September 7th through 9th. So just 5 weeks away.
Yeah, and or 43 days for, or 42 days from today. Not that I'm counting. Yeah, but 42 days.
By the
days
way, shout out to our friend Lou Mangiello in the house.
Hey, Lou.
Good to have you right there. A solid human being.
Absolutely, man. So yeah, Free the Dream. Basically, what it's for, it's people who are pursuing some calling in life. You know, it's like what would life be like if I could do this? All right. You've got a dream. Some, you know, I went to Podcast Movement just recently and I started having conversations with people and I say, hey, what are you most excited about right now in your business or in your podcasting pursuit? And they would tell me and I would ask the question. It's like, hey, where do you see this taking you? Let's just say 5-10 years down the road. And they're like, well, I never thought about that. And it's crazy to me, Joel, how many people have forgotten how to dream. You know, and but some of them, you know, everybody that I asked, they all were able to get to a dream of what life might look like in 10 years from now, if they could have anything that they want. And then I'm like, okay, what steps have you taken to get to that place? Well, I haven't done anything. Well, why not? And it got down to, well, I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of this. And I'm like, well, what would it take? And I have one guy that I talked to, he said, Cliff, I want to leave my day job. And I said, well, how much money would it take? And he said, $7,000 a month for my online business. And I'm like, well, what do you do? And he told me what he did. And so I sat there. So it would take $7,000 a month and you could leave the day job forever. And he said, yeah. I said, how long do you think it'll take? He says, well, I'm working it out probably over the next 3 to 5 years. I said, let me ask you a question. That's what he told me. Wow. All right. That's what he told me. And I sat there. I said, well, let me ask you this. With your gifts, talents, skills, abilities, your area of expertise, and all of your experience, do you believe that you could create a product where one person could pay you $7,000 a month, every single month, recurring revenue? Not a chance. I said, not a problem. Do you think it's possible for you to find two people, two clients who could pay you $3,500 a month, every single month, recurring revenue? And he's like, yeah, still nope. But interestingly enough, when I said, do you think you have a product inside of you where you could charge $1,000 per month and get seven people every month to pay you that recurring? And he's like, I could do this. And I have it on my iPhone. I have it on my iPhone. And Joel, I don't know if you'll be upset with me if I actually play this audio through
no,
to you.
Go ahead.
Do you mind?
No, please.
I didn't know that I was going to bring this up. So I apologize for this not being instant. But let me see if I can pull in audio from here.
Oh, or just hold it up to your mic.
I'll do that.
All right. This is Mark. I'm Leslie Mark. Hello. Yeah. All right. So last night we had a conversation, and what came up in the conversation?
Yeah, so you and I were talking in the hallway, and you said, what's your number? What would it take? You divide that, and you said, you need X number of people to pay $1,000 a month. Recurring, right?
Yeah.
And I said, yes. You said, you think you can do it? I said, yeah, okay. And I wasn't really confident. I went back to the room. I looked at what I had been doing, what I had been offering. I reached out to someone I had been talking to. I bit my tongue, sent them a note, and said, $1,000 a month, I will help you solve the problem, launch your podcast. 4 months probably, what do you think? I didn't read it too much, I didn't send it, I was scared to death. I woke up this morning, she wrote back and said, I'm in, I'll do it.
There you go.
And how did you feel?
All right, so I'll stop it right there. He said a whole lot more, but let me tell you, he didn't believe it was possible at first. I asked him a couple questions. We got into some belief system issues that he had. And by the way, I never told him anything. I didn't tell him a single thing. I only asked him questions. He had all of the answers inside of himself, including whether or not the beliefs that were holding him back were true or not. He knew that they weren't. He was the one who discovered it all. He's the guy. And by the way, I didn't even tell him to go back to his room. And he sent a text message to somebody. He was actually going that evening. He was going to write her a proposal for $250 a month. And he sent it for $1,000. And she said yes. And I have another video, by the way, that followed up because he told me afterwards. I said, okay, I got to get another video on this one. But she said, I have 8 other people I want to join in. As a group, we want to, as a group, do this. Dude's going to make $8,000 a month.
And it didn't take 3 to 5 years.
It didn't take 3 to 5 years.
It's amazing. You know, as entrepreneurs, when we look at what we are capable of, what we actually bring to the table, when we can take an honest assessment and say, you know what? I know something about X. And we just go put it out there and ask for it. It's amazing how people respond to your ability to solve their problem.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing. It's about adding value to people's lives, whatever it is that they want to accomplish. And some people are like, nobody will ever pay me this for that. It's like, yeah, it's like there's so many places they could go figure that all online. You know what? I have thousands of hours of information on how to launch your own podcast, and you could do it on your own. And the thing is you could probably figure it out over the next 3 to 4 weeks, countless hours, or you know what? You could hire me for 2 hours and you're up and running. How about that? And you know what? There are people out there that their time is so valuable that heck yeah, they'll pay you for that.
Absolutely. Well, Cliff, I appreciate you joining us today in our closing moments here. Why don't you go ahead and do the pitch on freethedream.live. Who needs to be there and what are they going to get and how do they get signed up?
All right. So who needs to be there? Anybody who understands that there's something in life that you feel called to do that, but for whatever reason, you've attempted to do it and you've been held back. Now, it could be, I need to drop 80 pounds to be really healthy. And I've dropped 40 of it, and I keep going back, and I just can't understand why. Free the Dream is going to help you free the dream of your physical body, all right? The sales page, if you go to freethedream.live, it's very much geared toward a very target audience because as Joel will concur, when you market something, you have to choose a target audience so you can speak their language. And very much if you are on the journey of full-time self-employment, whether you have a day job and you have no idea what your dream is because, well, unfortunately, your ability to dream has been beaten out of you. If you're in a day job, but you feel like there's something more to life and I don't even know what it is, we'll come help you discover how to dream what your future is. If you actually have the day job, you've been creating some content and it's like, I think that there might be something here. I feel guilty pursuing it. My wife doesn't understand. My spouse doesn't understand. Whatever the case may be, come, we'll free that dream. Some of you have left the day job. Or maybe some of you started pursuing your side business and this is how, Joel, do you know people that the day job has left them?
Of course.
Okay. So maybe you've left the day job already or the day job left you, but financially things are just not working out. You know, you go to all the conferences, you know, all the things that you need to do, but you just aren't motivated to get out of bed in the morning and do all the things you already know. Well, come to Free the Dream. You'll learn why. you're not doing the things you already know you need to do. Mm. And then for those of you who have achieved great success in your business, I mean, financially, you could keep doing exactly what you're doing every single day, and you're making more money than practically anybody else you know personally. All right. But the reality is, it's just not fulfilling you anymore. Mm-hmm. There's something more. And you've got some beliefs that are holding you back from pursuing that next thing. Your success is keeping you from going after what you're most called to do in this world. Mm-hmm. Free the Dream is for anybody on that path. Freethedream.live. Reserve your seats today.
Operators are standing by.
Operators are standing by.
Sounds fantastic. And I see you've got Dan Miller there, and Ray Edwards is going to be there. Your wife, Stephanie's going to be speaking there, and the list goes on. It's going to be a fantastic event. You've got a great story, and clearly, and I know people, your dream is going to be fulfilled, because I believe your heart is in the right place. I think God will honor that. And you're just, you know, when you look at what you've done, there's times in our lives that we wonder, is my greatest work behind me, or is it before me? And in your case, it's before you. There's no doubt.
And Joel, you know what? I honestly believe that that's true for every single person. Mm-hmm. I really do. And you know what? I know some people who have done some pretty great work. And I believe if they wake up in the morning, there's more work for them to do. Mm-hmm.
CliffRavenscraft.com is his official site if you want to see everything that Cliff's got going on. In fact, I will pull up. I hadn't seen that you redesigned your site. But here it is. You could sign up for his newsletter for free right there and read about his transformation and so much content here on his blog. And of course, freethedream.live is where to go to learn about the conference. Reserve your seat to go to Franklin, Tennessee. They're outside Nashville, Tennessee. That's not a good Southern accent. September 7th through 9th is the place to be. Mr. Cliff Ravenscraft, thank you so much, my friend. I so appreciate you.
Joel, man, I appreciate you, and what a great honor. And as a friend, just let me thank you for this opportunity to speak to your community. I know that it means a lot when we bring people on to promote something. And I know that you and I and several other people were very cautious about what we promote. And to know that you reached out to me and said, Cliff, can I promote this for you? It means the world to me. And so as a friend, I just want to say thank you.
Well, you're welcome. No affiliate links or any of that either. This is just like, this is doing good stuff. This is letting the world know here is something valuable that that you can go and be a part of. Cliff, I'm going to wrap up here, but if you'll just hang out for a second, I want to talk to you afterwards here for just a moment.
Sounds great.
Cool. Cliff Ravenscraft, one of a kind. What a gem. I told you it would be inspiring. Did I not tell you? I don't BS Barbara Streisand or whatever Cliff said it was. I tell the truth. Good stuff coming to you. I'll be scheduling next week's show shortly, and I'm going to be trying something new as well. Thinking about doing a call-in show. Remember old school telephone style call-ins, but going live on Be Live and doing that and talking about some issues of the day. Anyway, thanks again for joining me today. Always appreciate you guys being here. Until I catch you next time, well, you know what to do, right?
Thanks for joining us for the Joel Comm Show.